All right, I want you to take your Bibles out. Go with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 24. Genesis, chapter 24. And this morning, I just wanted you to know I woke up just extra hungry. I woke up extra hungry today. So I went and I ordered me a Domino's pizza, and I have brought the Domino's pizza to church, and I'm going to eat Domino's pizza while I preach today. Is that okay with everybody? I mean, I don't mean to fling any cravings on you, and I don't want you to be hungry while I'm preaching today, but I plan on eating Domino pizza. Anybody in here like Domino's pizza?
Yeah.
Y'all do? You like Domino's pizza? Well, you ain't gonna believe this, but I have 20 $10 gift cards for Domino's pizza that I'm going to use today to give out to people who pay attention while I preach. And here's the way I figure this. So here's the first card. You get your Domino's pizza. Here's the way I figure this. If I can't get you to wake up while I'm preaching normally, I will pay you. Come on, somebody. I will pay you for an amen. I'll pay you for a hallelujah. I'll do whatever I can. Yes, I'm that kind of preacher. This morning, I want to preach on the domino effect. Years ago, God gave me this idea, and for some reason or another, I had a totally different message scripted out that I was going to preach. But this morning, I felt like God instructed me to preach this message on the domino effect, because everybody in here is familiar with dominoes. Dominoes made pizza famous to every household in America. In fact, when we were in Bible college, Pam used to work in Domino's, and she would come home and she'd be covered in flour, and she would tell me, they are making a fortune on these Domino pizzas. How many cents was it at that time? Can you remember how much they had? It was very little, 60 cents. So they had in a pizza, and they were selling these pizzas. And she said, they're making a fortune on pizza. And it lodged something in my mind about the third law of motion. Everybody in here has heard of Isaac Newton. So before we get into the scripture, I want to get into physics, if I can, because I'm that kind of preacher. I want to talk to you about Newton's third law of motion, one of the basic laws of physics. You say it all the time. You know it well, but I want to explain this law for a moment, because this law is what I'm going to be preaching in this message. I promise today, when we walk out of here, you will not forget this message, the domino effect. Every action has an equal and an opposite reaction. Now, basically, this statement right here is based on a greater definition of this third law of motion. And basically, on your screen is the definition. Basically, this means that in every interaction, there is a pair of forces acting on two interacting objects. The size of the forces on the first object equals the size of the force on the second object. The direction of the force on the first object is opposite to the direction of the force on the second object. And force always comes in pairs. Say that out loud with me, please. Force always comes in pairs. Equal and opposite action, reaction, force pairs. It's very important that you get this in your mind, because I know that this is basic physics according to Isaac Newton, but what you don't know is this is really Bible. God set this law in motion in the universe, and it applies to your life every single day of your life in every single decision that you make. So I want to take you to a passage of scripture this morning that I believe enumerates or amplifies this idea that every action has an equal and opposite reaction. In Genesis chapter 24, verses 1 through 9, you have a very old Abraham who wants his son Isaac to have a wife. And the Bible says, in his old age, at the end of his life, toward the end of his life, Abraham called his eldest servant, Eliezer, to him, and he said, I want you to go find a wife for me. Now, all through the Old Testament, you have types and shadows of things to come. And in this particular passage, Genesis 24, Abraham actually is a type of God the Father, who is sending out his eldest servant, the Holy Spirit, to find a bride for his son, Jesus. We know that God sent the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 2. I've been preaching it for weeks now, Acts chapter 2. The purpose of the Holy Spirit coming to the earth was to draw out a remnant bride for Christ. That's the reason over in the book of Revelation, the bride of Christ, the church, is part of the greater bride of Christ that comes down out of heaven, a city that is created by God himself. And so here we have Abraham looking for a bride for Isaac, and he sends out Eliezer to do it. And verse number 10, it says, then the servant took 10 of his master's camels. Again, types and shadows here in the Word of God. How many master's camels did he take? 10. The Bible tells you that these 10 camels were laden down with gifts. There was gold. There was all kinds of fragrances on there. There was gems and jewels that was laden down. And so the servant would have been riding one of those camels, and the other 9 camels would have been laden down with gifts. We get over into 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And again, we have God the Father sending the Holy Spirit out to draw out a bride. And what does the Holy Spirit do when he finds his bride? He presents her, the body of Christ, with 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Years ago, I used to preach a message. I think Perry used to preach a message entitled, The Camels Are Coming. And we'd talk about how, and it didn't originate with us. It actually originated with Dr. E.L. Terry. And he'd get up in that old gruff voice, he'd talk like this, and he'd grab a microphone stand, and you know, the big ones that had the big round end like that. He'd grab the microphone stand, he'd start swinging it. He said, my God, the camels are coming, and they got gifts on them. Oh, hallelujah. And the pace would just go wild. I do that, and look, I have to give y'all $20 gift cards to get you to say amen to do anything. But Dr. E.L. Terry was such a mastermind to point out that really the Holy Spirit is bringing 9 gifts to the church. And then we also know that the 9 fruit of the Holy Spirit, so it's not just gifts on the camel's back, it's fruit on that camel's back. And so again, we have these types and shadows all through the Word. So look at it, it's very important. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels, and he departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose, and he went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at the evening time, the time when the women to go out to draw water. Then he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please give me success today. Show kindness to my master Abraham, for behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now look at this prayer. Now let it be that a young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may have a drink. And she says, drink, and I'll give you and your camels a drink. Let her be the one that you've appointed for your servant Isaac, and by this I will know that you have shown kindness to your master. What a weird prayer. What a weird prayer. God, I'm going to know whom Isaac's wife is going to be whenever the right woman comes to this well and she draws water to get a drink for her family to take it back in a pitcher. I want to be able to say to her, can I have a drink? And I want her to say to me, I'm not just going to give you a drink, I'm going to give all of your camels a drink. Now check this out. He is not choosing Isaac's bride based on her beauty. Oh my God. Do I really need to preach about how God didn't choose you according to your beauty? Some of y'all need to look at your neighbor and say, that's a fact, Jack. Right? I mean, you can look at Alan and say, that's a fact, Jack. Right? You can look at David Hunter and say, that's a real fact, Jack. Right? He's not choosing her by whether she comes from the right family line. He doesn't know what family she's from. He's choosing her based on a decision that she is going to make in a moment of need. Folks, that is so important. Now notice what happened It happened before that he had finished speaking. He didn't so much as get it out of his mouth that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel. Would you like to know what Bethuel means? Bethuel means broken, wasted, busted. So here we have a woman who has come from a broken situation. She comes from a broken situation, a busted situation, a wasted situation. Aren't you glad? My God, I want to really just turn loose here and preach. I might even get that Tennessee hack going on right here. Aren't you glad God didn't choose you not only for your beauty, but aren't you glad that God didn't look over you and the mess that you were in when he decided to choose you to become part of the bride for his son, Jesus Christ? I'm so glad for the mercy of God. The Bible says that the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. So I want everybody to get the picture in your mind. Can y'all see it in your mind? She's got the pitcher on her shoulder, and she's coming to get warm water. And it says, now the young woman was very beautiful to behold. She was good looking. She was a virgin. No man had known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher, and she came up. Now, you need to know something. I almost showed you a picture today, but I don't have time. But if you go to Israel with me, you'll find out that every well is usually deep into a cavern. You have to walk lots of steps to get down to it. This was not an easy task, especially for a young woman. And Bible theologians think that she was approximately anywhere between 12 and 15 years old. So here we have this beautiful, frail, petite little girl, Jewish girl, and she has a pitcher on her shoulder, and she is going down the steps into this well to draw water out for her family. And the Bible says in verse number 17, and the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my Lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand, and she gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, now watch this, folks, I will draw water for your camels also. This is so weird. What little girl says, hey, I think I'm going to get some water for your camels? This isn't her pet dog. She's there to get water for her family. It was already going out of the way to give a stranger a drink of water that she didn't know, but now she offers. She wasn't asked, she offered. I want to get some water for your camels. And she said, I will give them a drink till they have finished drinking. Folks, that's big. That's big. Let me tell you how big that is. Let me give you some facts you need to know about a camel. Adult camels weigh approximately 1,500 pounds. 1,500 pounds. Not only that, did you know that an adult camel can drink 21 gallons in 10 minutes? The average adult camel, it takes 40 gallons to satisfy them. I bet you didn't know that, did you? So that means, ladies and gentlemen, this little girl, if she had two pitchers of water, the Bible only says she has one, but if she had two, and each one of those pitchers would hold a gallon of water, it would have taken Rebekah a minimum of 4 hours to carry enough water up and down those steps to feed those 10 camels or to give those 10 camels a drink. And I have calculated to the best of my ability based on one of the smaller wells that I've been in Israel, and here's what I have found, that it would have been a minimum of 63 trips with 2 gallons of water on your shoulders up and down steps of that well to satisfy those camels. So when she made a statement, I'm not just going to give your camels a drink. I'm going to just satisfy you. I'm going to satisfy your camels. I'm going to give them a drink until they are finished drinking. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a huge decision to make with an absolute total stranger in that moment, especially at the age for this little girl. But this little girl did not understand one very important thing. This decision would take take her from broken and wasted and make her the mother of millions and millions and millions of people. One decision took her from broken to blessed. Come on, somebody. One decision took her from broken to blessed. Say that out loud with me. One decision take you from, listen, you better listen to me today. Never, never underestimate the power of just one decision that you make. You never know that the decision that you're making is getting ready to open the door to the biggest blessing of your life. And sometimes these decisions that you make seem like something insignificant. Sometimes they seem like they're so inconvenient, but I have found that if you use every opportunity as an opportunity from God to be blessed, you will open the doors of blessing over your life. Can I get an amen in this church this morning? So, if you want to write something down, write this down. If you're going to tweet something, tweet this. When God brings you to the point of decision, the way you respond will determine your future. My daddy, who was a great athlete, used to raise us up to box and play football. And here was something my daddy used to tell me. It didn't matter if it was a scrimmage game. It didn't matter if it was a practice. It didn't matter if it was an exhibition game. It didn't matter if it was the bowl game. My daddy used to say, it didn't matter if I was fighting somebody that was just practicing in a ring. We were just sparring, getting ready for a bigger fight. Here's what my daddy would say. He would say, son, always bring your A game because you never know who's watching you. Can I give you some wisdom from somebody who's 51 years old now and has been around the block a time or two and have went around some blocks that I didn't want to go around? Always bring your A game because you never know who's watching. Rebecca had no idea that this one decision that she was going to make that defied even logic or defied her own physical ability, she had no idea that this one decision, the way she responded in this moment, was going to determine her future, that it was going to take her from being broken to being blessed. Always. Listen, here's how Jesus said it. Jesus said it like this. Despise not small things, small beginnings, one translation says. Listen, the small things matter to God. There is a law in the universe. Look at me. There is a law in the universe. Physics have learned it well. Sir Isaac Newton said you need to understand every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Every time you do something, it ripples down through time. It applies force to something that will apply an equal amount of force. I wanted today to get big dominoes, and if I was in our church, I would have had a set team sculpture big dominoes, and the whole time I would have got over here and I would have pushed dominoes down. So that you understand there is a domino effect that God has set in the universe, that every time you do something, every decision, every move you make, there's somebody watching you. There is an equal and opposite reaction that happens to that. There is no such thing as sowing seed without reaping. If you sow good seed, there's no such thing. It might take a while. There might be a seed time and harvest, but trust me, I don't care what kind of seed you sow, good, bad, money, time, effort, whatever seed you sow is going to have a harvest on the other side of it. Every action has an equal and an opposite reaction. And Rebecca had no idea that at this moment, what a pitcher of water was going to do. Yeah, it was hot. Yes, it was hard, but was it worth 63 times up and down those steps? Was it worth 4 hours of labor? Because she had no idea that one decision, she was not going to be going and watering the camels. She was going to own the camels in just a few hours. She had no decision that she wasn't just going to be watering the camel. She was going to get all the gold and the silvers and the diamonds and the rubies that was on top of those camels in a forest. She had no idea that one decision to water the servant, which that servant was going to become her servant, and she was going to have a lot of other servants. She wasn't going to be scrubbing the toilet no more. She's going to have somebody else to scrub the toilet for her. I'm telling you, one decision can change your life forever. Everybody laughs about money and giving money and things of that nature. I want to tell you about a decision. Pam and I were attending a banquet to raise money, of all things, for a failing television station. Liz used to work at that television station. How I met Liz before she was married to Noah is Liz came in to sell me television time on this failing television station. I knew the television station was failing because I had went on there several times and, well, let's just say it like this. The phones didn't light up, right? And even she came talking. I said, I'm not really interested in buying or time on that television station. It just was not good at all. So we were invited, go to a banquet. And they told us in advance, we're raising money. I said, okay, well, our church will go and, you know, I'll give $150, $200, $300, something like that. And at that time, Pam and I didn't have any money. We had just moved to this church. It was failing. The television station was failing. I could tell you some stories that would scare you to death about what was going on in our church. We'd go to Walmart. People cuss me out. Not because they were mad at me, but because they were crazy. And I'm not kidding. It was just one of those strange things, seasons that we were going through. And so we're sitting there in this banquet hall, and a guy gets up and he starts talking about it, and I'm like, oh yeah, I've heard this spiel before. Here comes the giving line. At a certain point, here comes the giving line. And so sure enough, he got to the ask, what we call the big ask. He got to the big ask. And when he got to the big ask, something in here said, write a $1,000 check. I rebuked the devil immediately. I'm serious. I know y'all have watched this stuff on television and all of that, and I hate that stuff. If you say give $1,000, I'm not giving $1,000. I mean, it's going to take God to make me. First of all, I'll help you with the shirt off my back, but if I feel like you're trying to manipulate me for something, you're not getting a dime from me, right? I'm just that kind of person. And so, you know, I thought, well, I'm missing God. I'm obviously sick. I have caught coronavirus in the 90s. I mean, something is wrong with me. I'm hallucinating. God just told me to give $1,000. And so I thought, well, I'll just try the spirits to see whether they be of God. You know how you do when you want to get out of something, you quote a scripture, right? Okay, I got three people over here that have done that before. The rest of y'all are lying. And so I quoted a scripture. I said, I'm going to try the spirits. And I turned around and looked at Pam. I said, baby, is the Lord talking to you? She said, yeah. I said, what's the Lord saying? She said, the Lord told me to give $1,000. I said, oh, God, how are we going to do this? And sure enough, ladies and gentlemen, we wrote a check that day. I don't know how much money we had in the bank, but I can promise you it wasn't much more than $1,000. We wrote a check that day. Little did I know that $1,000 that I gave in that offering, number one, would open heaven over my life financially. Did you know when I went on, well, I can't tell you, I just won't tell you that. I'll just tell you this, that I was asked to go on a show, and I thought that I've been on television many times, and I've never sold many books or anything like that. I went on this one show, and we sold tens of thousands of books. Had no idea. I got a check in the mail and liked to have fell out. Didn't we, baby? I can distinctly remember going into that house and just almost not having breath in my body. I didn't know there was even that much money on the planet. I didn't know. Did you know that that television station that was failing, we ended up buying that station? God gave us that station for a song and a dance. We bought that station and used it to preach the gospel in that community for years until later we sold it and sold it for much more than what we paid for it. I'm telling you, you never know how one decision that you make, never underestimate. You never know how that $5 you held out the window to somebody who had a sign on their hand, even though your gut said, don't do it, something else in you said, yeah, give them something. You did it anyway. God never overlooks any seed that is sown. I don't care what it is, even if it's a word, it's an action. I'm telling you, God never overlooks. Listen, read it out loud. Everybody read it out like you believe it. When God brings you to the point of decision, the way you respond will determine your future. So, I got to tell you a story. Domino's. There's no pizza in here. Domino's. How many's ever noticed two Domino's on the box? You ever notice that on the cars? Do you know why? Because the man who owned the company designed it that way on purpose because somebody told him he could decide to change his life. Not only that, do you notice how many dots are on the dominoes? Three. Do you know why? Because he was a staunch Catholic, and it was drilled into him as a little boy, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But it didn't start out like a big company. Let me tell you how it started out. If you look up Domino's on the web, you'll find over 1,200 pages of information on Domino's. The man's name is Tom Monahan. He's one of two children. He has another brother named James. Their father tragically died when they were little boys, 4 years old, tragically died on Christmas Eve night. 4 years old. His mother did all she could do to find a job, but the only thing that she could find was a job that was making $27 a week. She would take Tom and James to a Catholic orphanage, and she would have to drop them off because she didn't have enough money to feed them, and she would promise them, I'll come back and get you. I promise I'll come back and get them. And she did for a time or two, and the Catholic orphanages helped her for a little while. But one day she dropped them off, 4 years old. They had lost their dad tragically. They'd had nothing to their name. She dropped them off. She said, I'll come back and get you. But she never came back. From time to time, she would drop by and she would visit, but it was too painful. And you can imagine how this wrecked their lives. When they got a little older, they went into a series of foster homes. The foster homes that they went to, according to Tom Monahan, were extremely bad. They were disappointing, and there was a lot of rejection and abuse that took place in these foster homes. So his life was broken. His life was wasted. His life was busted. They spent 6 years in one orphanage where they scratched and clawed for their life, and they had no hope at all. Their life was totally wasted until all of a sudden a Polish nun came to work at this orphanage. This Polish nun would drill into them Ecclesiastes 11:4. Listen to the words of it. He that looks at the wind will not sow. The one that considers the clouds will not reap. And she would drill into them five specific things. Five things that I want you to know, no matter what situation you come from, that there's a decision that you can make that would change your life. Here's the first thing that she drilled into them. This Polish nun would make them write these down every day. Number one, write it down, Tom and James. You can do anything that you want to do with your life. You can do anything that you want to do with your life. One day, after they wrote this down, she could see that Tom was having a very difficult time with this thought that Tom could do anything that he wanted to do with his life. I don't have a daddy. I'm in an orphanage. I don't see my mother. I bounce from foster home to foster home. I'm totally wasted. I'm totally busted. I'm totally disgusted with my life. And yet you're telling me I can do anything that I want to do with my life. I'm living in an orphanage. How can I? She would say, yes, you can do anything that you really want to do with your life. And one day she saw he was struggling with that. And she said, Tom, I want you to do something for me. I want you to write down three things that you want to accomplish in your life. If you really believe this, I want you to write down three things that you want to accomplish with your life. Listen to what Tom wrote. He said, number one, I want to be a priest. Because he would see the other priests walking around the orphanage and he saw what he thought was prestige. He said, I want to be a priest. Number two, I want to be an architect like Frank Lloyd Wright. I want to be an architect. And number three, he said, I want to be a shortstop for the Detroit Tigers. Well, he didn't become a priest, but he did become an influential man of God. He did not become an architect, but he did build one of the largest companies in American history. And he did not become a shortstop for the Detroit Tigers, but because he actually found out he could do anything that he wanted to do with his life, he bought the Detroit Tigers in 1983 for $53 million, and the next year they won the World Series. Folks, that's a domino effect. See, some people look at the hardship as shackles, but a nun got through to a four-year-old boy that it doesn't matter what happened with your life, the next decision that you make could change your destiny forever. You can do anything that you want to do with your life. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to in here this morning, but I'm telling you, I don't care what background you come from, you can do anything that you want to do with your life. The only thing that's hindering you is not the devil, is you. But you can do anything. Shout this out. Say, I can do anything that I want to do with my life. Come on, shout it out. I can do anything that I want to do with my life. Second thing she would make him write down is you can rise above your hurts. She said, Tom, you need to understand something. If you carry bitterness and unforgiveness, you'll never be able to accomplish your dreams. She would tell him bitterness and unforgiveness is like a big lead weight. It's like an anchor that stops your ship from moving forward in the ocean of life. Tom, I don't care what happened to you. I don't care how bad you have grieved over losing your daddy or how bad you've grieved over being in this orphanage. Tom, I want you to know you can rise above your hurts. I'm amazed at how many people in America are hurting. Broken homes, broken situations, broken relationships, broken economic things. I mean, just brokenness everywhere. People are hurting everywhere. Everybody you talk to, and even the people in this room that look like they got it all together, if you'll take them to coffee and talk to them for a little bit, you'll find out that they're pretty broken. That something is going on in their life. Well, for those of you who are broken, I just want to tell you what the Word of God says. In Luke chapter 4, verse number 18, it says, He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And He said, He sent me to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Listen to me. Brokenhearted people are sick. And bruised people are usually in bondage. But Jesus said, I want you to know something. You can rise above your hurts. Are you listening to me today? Jesus said, I want you to know something. You can rise above your hurts. I don't care who's hurt you today. I will tell you this. You're never going any further in life until you forgive and you move on and you learn to rise above your hurts. You have an option. That hurt can either be a platform for you or a ceiling for you. I don't know about you. I've been hurt a few times in life, but I've made a decision. I'm going to make every pain a platform for where I want to go in life. It's not going to be my ceiling. You can rise above your hurts. The third thing that she would make him write down is make God your partner. Now, this is a Catholic nun in an orphanage, teaching a four-year-old how to get out of the situation of his life. She said, you got to make God your partner. And she would make him memorize a scripture, which became his favorite scripture. Here it is, Luke 1:37, for nothing will be impossible with God. And look how I have it highlighted up there, with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. And here's what she would say to him. She would say, Tom, you can do anything you want to do in your life. You can rise above any pain in your life. But if you're going to go anywhere in life, you're going to have to make God your partner. You can do anything, even though it looks impossible. As long as God is your partner, you can rise above it. You can succeed in life. And then she would make him quote this one, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, somebody say that out loud. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. One more time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe that? I said, do you believe that? If you believe that, give the Lord a clap right now and a shout in this room. I believe that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And then here's the fourth thing. She taught him, don't ever give up. Don't you ever give up. Now, Tom went on to, with his brother, to start this company called Domino's. They had barely enough money to buy a failing little pizza shop, and the guy with $400 gave them a 15-minute lesson in how to make really bad pizza. He had never owned a pizza shop before. They had never worked in a pizza shop. And so he and his brother went together, scrounged up the money, and they bought the pizza shop that would later become Domino's Pizza, that would be based on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and would be based on one decision can change your life ever, the domino effect. I don't know if that's why they named the company, but that was the mindset behind the company. Well, as you know, Domino's exploded in growth. And what's really interesting is his brother James, because at one point they were struggling so bad, his brother James thought it wasn't going to make it and he wanted to get out. And so he asked Tom to buy him out. Tom didn't have any money. All he had was an old broken down VW Beetle. And he exchanged it with his brother James for the other half of the company. How many think James has kicked himself a few times for that decision? Right? Well, the company started growing. And sure enough, everything that this nun had taught him was working. You can do anything you want to do with your life. You can rise above all of your hurts. If you make God your partner, God will help you and you can do impossible things. But let me tell you, it came with its trials. Here's some of the trials for Domino's Pizza. At one time, they had over 1,000 creditors, 1,000 people that they were in debt to. Can you imagine? They had over $1 billion in debt. At one time, they had as many as 150 lawsuits taking place. They were then boycotted by the National Organization for Women, who are, by the way, the number one purchasers of pizza in the nation. Not a good thing. They were sued by Domino Sugar. How many know that's a bad deal? Sued by Domino Sugar. But in spite of every trial that came across their way, the company kept growing, kept getting bigger. People kept buying more pizza. When Tom was asked, what is the key to your success in the midst of all the trial and the adversity? He said, there was a nun that said, no matter what goes on in my life, I'm going to make it. I can be a success. I can do whatever I want to do, but I can't give up. I'm not going to give up. So let me give some of you a word of hope today. I don't care what's leveraged against you. I don't care how black it looks in your life. I don't care how tough it looks in your life. Don't give up, because God is going to work a miracle just around the corner. Come on, somebody say amen to that. And then she made him write this down. Be a giver. Now, I've already took up the offering, so everybody breathe. No offerings being taken up anymore today. This is one of the rules that she gave him. She said, be a giver. Think about this. They started off with this. There was no business. There was very little money. But because they grew up hard and they knew other people were hurting, they gave what they could. They supported ministries. They supported people who were hurting. They gave people jobs that really, they didn't have a job to give. In 1969, they had scratched and clawed and finally had three stores. They kept giving. 1978, they opened their 200th store. 1983, they opened their 1,100th store. In 1985, because of their giving, it was known as the fastest growing pizza chain in the world. Think about it. In 1989, they had 5,000 stores, even though they were boycotted by the National Organization for Women. In 2006, they had 8,190 stores in 54 different countries. In 2008, they had 10,000 stores. And at that time, he believed I needed to give back to my community. So you know what he did? He took his advertising dollars and took them out of national campaigns alone. He directed them into local communities. And that year, he gave $170 million of his advertising budget to local communities and radio stations to help them. 12,000 pizzas were delivered to Ground Zero in New York City on 9/11 because Tom was taught be a giver. 375,000 families were helped after 9/11 because Tom was taught to be a giver. In 1998, Tom sold Domino's Pizza to Bain Capital. Y'all ever heard of Bain Capital? Let me re-jog your memory. Presidential candidate Mitt Romney was one of Bain Capital's major investors and founding partners. He sold Domino's Pizza that he started with just a few $100. One decision will change your life. Are you ready for this? For $1 billion. $1 billion. When he was asked, why did you sell Domino's pizza? Would you like to know what his response was? He said, I sold it because I want to focus on religious and philanthropic work. I want to give now. Because a nun said, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. He learned that one decision could change your life forever. And he learned to be a giver. Now let me show you something. After he sold his business for $1 billion, look at what happened. In 8 months, he gave over $450 million to ministries. In 8 months. After he sold it for $1 billion. The newspaper got to him and said, a reporter got to him rather and said, hey, this is extremely extravagant, seeing that you've given half of your wealth or half of your sale of your business away. Listen to Tom's response. He said, it's God's money. And he said, I want to use it for the highest purpose to get as many people to heaven as possible. Now look at me. I want to tell you something. Domino's Pizza didn't start with Tom. What about the little girl who was in church one Sunday and felt the call to go into ministry and said, I'm going to become a nun. Gave her life to Christ, followed the ministry, made a vow of celibacy, and went in to become a nun and was stationed in an orphanage to be the teacher of a little four-year-old despondent kid who had lost his mother and father and didn't have a life. What if she had said, no? What if she had said, I want to pursue fame? What if she had a gift to sing and she wanted to go into the world system, but instead she made a decision she'd follow God? Her decision changed a destiny forever. I'm not talking about money here. I'm talking about every decision you make will determine something in the future for you. Are y'all listening to me? So let me give you this scripture right here. Here's what God would have you to leave with. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you. There's a great assembly. Hebrews 12 says it like this. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. All of the witnesses to heaven are being called into an assembly against us today. He said, I've set before you life and death. Blessing and cursing. But look at what he said here. Therefore, choose life. You better say those three little yellow words like your life depends on it right now. Ready? Therefore, choose life. Ooh, that's a big conjunction. Therefore, choose life. that both you and your descendants may live. This isn't just about you. This isn't just about me. I got a little 3-year-old up there running around screaming. I can hear him. I got a little 1-year-old girl up there trying to run and waddle right now. It's not just about me. It's about them. Can I tell you a person, can I be just transparent with you for a moment? Can I tell you a personal prayer I've been praying? Pam and I have been praying. I've been praying this every day. I've been praying 2 prayers, really. Number one, Lord, help me to build 1 more great church in Cookeville. Help me to build 1 more great church. I want to build, just God, give me 1 more great work that magnifies your name in Cookeville. Just help me. I pray that every day. I drive up top of Prayer Mountain, up above the river. I park up there by the cross, and I pray that prayer. I overlook the city and say, God, give me 1 more. Give me the anointing. Give me mercy. Give me grace to build 1 more great church for the kingdom of God. So somebody asked me the other day, are you going to move off? No, I'm not moving off. I'm staying right here. This is it. 1 more great church. 1 more. That's my prayer. Here's my second prayer. I said, God, I want you to make me rich like Abraham. You said, see how tight it got right there? Now, relax. And I said, I want all the money to come from an idea or business opportunity that you give me that's outside of my church. I don't want anybody to be able to say, the preacher got rich off of 1 more great church. I don't want to go to heaven that way. I want people to say, don't talk about our preacher, because our preacher got to a place he didn't even take a salary from our church. Right? That's what I want. So I'm believing God for that. So every day, you know what I do? I read and look around and study and watch and talk to people, because at any moment, at any time, and most time opportunities come shaded in what looks like trouble or problems. They come clothed different than blessing. Sometimes opportunities look a little strange. I say, God, give me the eyes to see the opportunity that you're going to give to me. Every decision I make affects the church. Every decision I make affects our future. I call heaven, this is God talking, and earth as a witness today against you. When you get to heaven, you can't say, God, you didn't do it. God's going to say, hold it. I need all the witnesses for this date. Show him how many opportunities. Show her how many opportunities for blessing that they missed because they didn't make the right decision. I call heaven and earth to testify against you today. I've set before you life and death. Blessing, cursing. Therefore, choose life. Say it out loud. Therefore, I can't hear you. Say it like a hillbilly. Y'all, see, some of them change the way they talk. Therefore, choose life. Get some pizza and you eat it. Don't forget one decision, right? And here's one to give away, to plant a seed to start your future. One for you to remember, one to sow for you and your family, right? Who else in here? Say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you right now. I feel a little wasted, and I need God to do something big in my life. Let me see him. Who else? Who else? All right, come here. One pizza. And you're going to pray over it. One to sow. The domino effect. Who else? All right, look here. One pizza. Now look at me. If you eat this one, it won't change your life. And some of y'all think this is foolish, a Domino's pizza card. I have watched God do crazier miracles with just simple stuff. One to sow. Now look, you got to find somebody else. One to sow. Who else in here say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you. I need a miracle. I need a miracle. Let me see your hand. Say, this is weird. Now, find a boring church. Be normal. Look here. No. I got to do this, right? I appreciate, though. You're already trying to give your pizza card away, man. One to sow. One to... See, the Bible says, listen, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, God gives bread for food and seed to the sower. So watch, I'm giving you something to consume because God wants you to be blessed, but also God wants you to be a blessing, right? You say, it's so weird. I know. It's this little law of physics. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. I went and spent $200 of church money on Domino's cards. You say, you spent $200? Oh, yeah, $200. But watch what God does with $200 of pizza. Right? Y'all ready? Who else in here? Say, Pastor, one to eat, one to sow. Now, look at me. Listen to me. Those of you I'm giving these cards to, don't give both your cards. I need you to eat one. I need you to sow one. Right? I got a few more here. Some of y'all are sitting there like, man, I really want some pizza this afternoon, but I'm scared to raise my hand because Pastor Steve talked about the fear of God. And one to eat, one to sow. Look here. Look here. Here it is. One to eat. One to sow. All right. There's two more people in here that's supposed to get a miracle this week. Two more people. God told me 20. God told me 20. One to eat. One to sow. Oh. Like the loaves and fishes, they're multiplying. I got three. Somebody only get one? Who was the person that just got one back there? Oh, yeah. They're not multiplying. I just miscounted. I literally did think, oh, God, it's multiplying. It's happening already. It's the domino effect. I'm giving them away. I'm getting more in my hand as I'm giving them away. All right, there's one more person in here that's supposed to get a miracle. Yes, ma'am. One more person. I'm sorry I'm walking all around for the camera here, but it's all right. One to eat, one to sow. What song are you playing there, buddy?
Yes, I will.
Sing it.
Oh, I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names, that nothing can stand against, and I choose to praise, to glorify the name of all names, that nothing can stand against.
Come on, let's lift our hands.
I choose to
glorify the name of all names. And nothing can, come on, say it like you mean it. I choose
to praise, to glorify the name of all names. But nothing can stand against.
Oh, yes, I will.
and lift those hands up high. Father, I pray, may the Lord God bless you today. May the Lord God make his face to shine upon you today. May the Lord God lift up his countenance over your life today. May the Lord God grant you peace today. I prophesy over you that everything your hand touches this week shall prosper. For you are blessed going in, and you are blessed going out, and you serve a God who is a God of the impossible. With hands lifted up, say this out loud after me. Say, I can do anything I want to do with my life. Say this out loud. Say, I can rise above my hurts. Say this. Say, God, you are my partner. You ready? Say, I will not give up. Last one, say, I will be a giver. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, come on, somebody put your hands together. Give God a praise for his word. Isn't that awesome?